Let's do this.
Woo!
Ring the bell. This is Between the Ropes.
Oh, you're going for the dirt, for the behind-the-scenes stuff.
It's time to get Between the Ropes. Between the Ropes.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for joining in. Raw is over, so it's time for the live Between the Ropes broadcast. Brian Fritz, along with Michael Wiseman here late on a Monday night. No promises, but if we have our cards correct, maybe Kane will show up tonight, or maybe not. So if any one of us disappears suddenly during this broadcast, blame it on Kane. So
you're going to see smoke rising from my side of the camera over here about halfway through the show.
Well, I mean, if it's like becomes red just out of nowhere,
yeah,
exactly. Like a red haze appears, then I guess Kane has made an appearance.
That's right.
We do want to appreciate or thank everybody for joining us here. We appreciate it. Please subscribe to us here on our YouTube channel and also like our videos, share them, and feel free to make comments. We've got the chat room open. I do want to remind everybody, too, if you can, please support us on Patreon. That goes a long way in helping us out. Go to patreon.com/between the ropes, even for $1 a month. We do this broadcast every Monday night, and we do it after every WWE pay-per-view. That's 20 cents a show, just that little, and it goes a long way in helping us out. If you could do that, that is fantastic. And for everybody that's already supporting us, we appreciate it. And if you want to pledge more than $1 a month, that's great too. But even as little as $1 a month, that really helps us out. So let's get.
We're kind of like the wrestling coverage version of Netflix here.
Yeah, something like that. You know, it's like WWE Network, but better than Netflix. We're gonna get a slogan like that now. Sure, why not?
There you go.
We got hefty competition here again tonight, Michael. So I don't want to name the competition. We know what's out there. So we got to see if we can. You know, have a big night like we did a couple weeks ago going up against Stone Cold.
We had the Monday Night Wars come back to us head-to-head with Stone Cold Steve Austin. And get this way, I like to think that we won tonight. No big deal. We will win again. There you go. That's all I got, man.
Let's get into Raw. So I think Raw was an interesting show. I guess the way that I would put it is it was kind of – there was good moments, there was bad moments. It's kind of all over the place tonight. It's kind of haphazard. I know coming off a Night of Champions, we had even talked last night on the broadcast that we thought maybe the next feud for Seth Rollins was going to be Kane. And we were right, whether people like that or not. And the way that the show had been going was Kane was playing mind games with everybody, acting like he didn't realize – that the Red Monster had appeared at Night of Champions, and he was screwing not only with Seth Rollins, but also with the Authority. And then come the end of the night, after Rollins lost clean for the second night in a row to John Cena in not recapturing the U.S. Championship, Kane appeared on the Titantron and basically said, you never know who you're going to face. And Rollins shook in fear, and the whole arena went red, and Kane popped up from under the ring, and he ended up grabbing Seth Rollins and sucking him into the vortex below the ring.
And wow.
Yeah.
Never seen that one before, huh?
Well, you know, yeah.
You didn't even ask. Okay, so we got to go back a second. You didn't even ask me what beer I was drinking tonight.
Oh, that's right. How did I miss that, man? So what do you got there?
I'm not drinking a beer tonight. Let me ask you a question, Fritzy. We were on the air.
Wait a second. You watched this show sober?
You and I use the term watched very loosely.
Okay.
And sobered very differently, too. Anyway, I will say this. 24 hours ago, we were sitting right here. I've been enjoying Night of Champions. Had a few brewskis, the likes of which are still scattered about me.
Mm.
Why would somebody tune in last night and watch me talk about beer and tune back in tonight to watch the exact same thing? Why would somebody do that?
Well, we're not just talking about beer. We're talking about other stuff.
But do people want to see the same thing night after night after night?
Well, I would hope not. I would hope that you would progress stories.
So we're a pretty low budget operation here, right? That, like, you know, we tend to understand our audience. We know that they want to watch something different night after night after night.
Sure.
Can you explain to me then why a multi-million dollar company is not only showing the same matches night after night after night, They're showing the exact same segments that we've seen with the same characters week after week after week. Kane, Under the Ring, and Smoke, and Red Lights. Oh my gosh, that's a first.
I think we're in that unfortunate time of the year where WWE has these built-in excuses of going up against football and whatnot. But it's kind of that, let's just get to the Royal Rumble part of the year. And I disagree with that because as a viewer and somebody that enjoys the programming or would like to, that it stinks when they're not putting their best foot forward. And the other thing is, too, it's not like the Royal Rumble is a month away or 6 weeks away. I mean, it's more than 3 months away. It's 4 months away, actually. Okay, so it's a long time before we get to the Royal Rumble. And that's kind of this weird time of the year for WWE where all eyes seem to be put towards 2016. It's like, let's just slap together what we can right now to get to that point.
Do you remember the last time Kane broke out and pulled somebody underneath the ring? Do you remember who it was?
No, I don't.
I'll give you three guesses. Woo, woo, woo.
Oh, really? It was Zack Ryder, huh?
You know it.
Jeez. So Zack Ryder now on the equivalent level of Seth Rollins.
I mean, you know, Zack Ryder won about as many championship matches as Seth Rollins has. So there you go.
Let's talk about that main event, and then we'll go back to the beginning. We'll talk about some of the other major things, including where was Sting tonight? So the main event was John Cena against Seth Rollins for the United States Championship. Kane had booked the match earlier in the night as the director of operations. By the way, we know he's the director of operations. Why? Because he has his own very mug that says best director of operations. Okay. which was kind of ingenious. I did enjoy the mug, but so they had the match again between Rollins and Cena. I don't think it was as good as some of the other matches that they've had. I'm not saying it was a bad match, but they were both selling injuries, especially Rollins was selling a leg injury. So they were both kind of slowed following Night of Champions. But once again, Cena hit the AA, got the clean victory. It's funny that it wasn't too long ago where Cena was having all these amazing matches, and it seemed like he couldn't pin anybody with just one single AA. Now on back-to-back nights, he's pinned the World Heavyweight Champion both nights using that move once. And I know we could sit here and we can nitpick, and I didn't have a problem with Cena winning a Night of Champions, but I find it curious that they booked the match again and they did another clean victory here again. So now you've got Seth Rollins, who some people have already questioned about his championship run, losing clean back-to-back nights.
It goes back to what I was saying in the summer. What's your most prestigious title? What belt means the most in the WWE right now? I agree with you. Last night, Seth Rollins loses. He beat John Cena last month. It was a funky finish with John Stewart, right? He loses last night, but he wins the follow-up match cleanly. So I'm kind of okay with it. But to have him come out on the subsequent night and lose again after such a fluky title run and to lose cleanly both nights to the United States champion really bothers me, because at the end of the night, what people remember is John Cena beating Seth Rollins, the champion, and the United States Championship being held high up in the air while the WWE Championship is just laying over there ringside somewhere. So you're undermining this hierarchy that has been established for hundreds of years of professional wrestling fandom.
Yeah, and I mean, I agree with the notion from the standpoint of you want the other championships to have some prestige. You definitely want them to be more than just trinkets. And I just don't like the idea of champions losing on a regular basis, whether it's World Heavyweight Champion, the United States Champion, the Intercontinental Champion. I don't like that when champions lose it. I mean, it's not saying that they can't lose even a non-title matches, but it can't happen all the time. And it seems to. You want to make the belts important. And right now, when Cena has the United States Championship, it feels more important than the World Heavyweight Championship, and that is backwards, especially when they've already feuded. And that feud, obviously, to me, is not going to continue because now Rollins is going to be moving on with Kane.
Yep. And so why give Cena the clean win here? I guess that's what I don't understand. Cena didn't need it.
Why did they need to do this match on this night? Or yes. Why didn't they have Kane interfere in the middle of the match?
Right. You right.
Know, something like that. Because, I mean, here's why I think they're doing Kane, okay, against Rollins. Because they're doing Hell in a Cell. They've already announced the main event for that in Brock Lesnar against The Undertaker. So they can use a kind of a quote-unquote secondary level opponent to go up against Rollins. It doesn't have to be, you know, a true number one contender. You can get away with a Kane on that show. Doesn't necessarily mean we'd like it. And it's funny because, like, Kane obviously has a ton of personality. And I have a great amount of respect for everything he's done over the years. But it's at a point now where, do you really want to see Kane in the ring? Is that what people are clamoring for? And I don't think people do want to see him in the ring, or at least don't want to see him in the world title picture.
Yeah, I think that's the mistake. It's, you can use Kane as a the legend status he is and use him to prop up some other talents, but putting him in this main event picture, like putting Big Show in this main event picture, it just isn't what people want to see right now. They want to see fresh faces up there. And Seth Rollins could use some younger guys. He could use some younger guys to beat, not just to challenge him, but some younger guys he can beat to get some credible wins. Okay, Seth Rollins loses to John Cena, the best guy in the business every once in a while. I will buy it as long as you're feeding Seth Rollins some victories. Now, Seth Rollins won last night against Sting, a multi-time world champion. That helps. But putting him in the ring against Kane as his follow-up, it just seems like these – who cares? Who cares about this main event picture now?
We'll get to Big Show coming up later on. I want to mention this, and we'll go back to the beginning of the show. I found it very curious that not only at Night of Champions, they aired the video package that was narrated by Paul Heyman talking about Brock Lesnar's Go to Hell tour, which not only, you know, announced once again that he's facing Big Show at Madison Square Garden next week, which is airing on the WWE Network, and that he's doing the Stone Cold podcast coming up in a few weeks, but obviously they announced the huge match between Lesnar and Undertaker at Hell in a Cell. I thought that they would have blown that up on this show, and they would have already started mentioning it, considering that Hell in a Cell is the next pay-per-view, obviously. The only time it got mentioned, though, was when they re-aired that video package on this broadcast. And outside of that, I don't remember a spot where the announcers mentioned it. I think they did a little bit during, you know, the Big Show match, but just barely, maybe. But outside of that, I mean, that's supposed to be a huge, huge match. And it was just kind of shuffled over. Like, hey, by the way, this match is happening, so tune in to Hell in a Cell.
Yeah. It was weird that they're putting more focus on Big Show than they are on The Undertaker at this point. And I get it. Like, I get that they advertised the match in one of these segments, these commercials, and Paul Heyman was the voice of it. But would it have been nice to just even have a storyline explanation on their product, not in the commercial, but on their product that says they finally agreed to terms, and the only way they could get Undertaker in the ring was if they had this as a Hell in a Cell match. Why did the Undertaker agree to fight Brock Lesnar again when Brock Lesnar beat the crap out of him for a second time in a row? I guess I just wanted some kind of either throwaway or somewhat legitimate explanation that gave me more buy-in rather than just, oh, it was a commercial and we're advertising this match.
Speaking of advertising, before the show, early this afternoon, WWE had put it out there that Raw was going to open up with Sting making a big announcement. Now, let's go back to Night of Champions and the match that he had with Seth Rollins. We were mistaken, and Sting did get injured in that match.
We were mistaken. No. You and Justin Kendall were mistaken. Michael A. Wiseman, as always, at The Real Wiseman on Twitter, was right. Again, just like he was right about The Undertaker versus Brock Lesnar at Hell in a Cell. I just want to say that when you say we, let it be known. Let everybody out there in podcast land understand you mean you.
Okay. So you. Sting was injured in the match with Seth Rollins. Not only did he take that vicious bump through the Spanish announcer's table, but when he took the turnbuckle powerbomb, he got shaken up really, really badly. And that's why he, for a couple of minutes, didn't continue with the match. Doctors looked him over. He wanted to continue, though, and they immediately went to the finish. And then he ended up losing after it looked like he was going to win there for a second with the Scorpion Deathlock. After the show, It was announced and reported by several different places, including a Wrestling Observer site, that Sting hurt his neck, and it could be a significant injury. And I know that on Facebook this afternoon, Sting's manager was on there talking about, yes, Sting was injured, but you know what? He's come back from so many different things. His body has been resilient. He's been in fantastic shape. And, you know, he wants to get back out there as soon as possible. WWE had put it out there, like, Raw is going to open up with Sting on the show, which went against TMZ, because TMZ had put out there even before that, that yes, Sting was injured, but he's not going to be on Raw because he went home and he's resting up. So we're waiting. When Raw begins, it's not Sting, it's the Wyatt family. And we never saw Sting the entire night. So it's going to be very interesting to see what is going on with Sting. I know he was having some tests done. We haven't heard anything about those yet. Hopefully it's not a severe injury, and if he wants to continue wrestling, he can. But when they had made the announcement, Michael, that they said Sting is going to be opening up Raw with a major announcement, how many people, including myself, thought he's going to retire? I mean, that's it for Stinger.
I think there was some consensus that Sting could have been his last one on TV, but there were so many conflicting reports coming out earlier today. I mean, of course, Wrestling Observer broke the news about the injury. They said that some of the CAT scan showed that there was no break, I think. But again, that's unconfirmed, maybe. It gets very confusing if you read the internet and wrestling news, surprisingly enough. But yeah, you announce it like that. That's the way WWE announces somebody's retirement. Now, I think either way, it would be way too soon. Less than 24 hours after the match, he's going to retire from a bump he took at last night's match with that little bit of testing. I think more curious is the fact that they advertised very clearly that Sting was going to be on Raw tonight. TMZ said no, and they were sticking with their story, even though he was flying back home. Like, it doesn't just pop out of nowhere. You know, there's got to be some prep work for that. And then they didn't do it. They replaced him with the Wyatt family. So I don't know. That's weird. I guess, how do you cross your signals that bad?
I don't know. It's curious how that all went down. I don't know. Maybe, I don't know. I honestly can't even speculate about it. Like I said, I just hope Sting is healthy. And if he wants to have one more match, I mean, I had always thought maybe he'd have one or two more matches, because I thought the next time we would see him, it would make sense if he was at the Royal Rumble. And then he would be at WrestleMania next year against whoever. I don't know. I don't know if he's going to be able to continue to wrestle, or, you know, does he feel like it anymore? I mean, does he feel like he wants to go back out there if he feels like he's putting his body at risk? I mean, you're always doing it, you know, as a wrestler, but Sting is 56 years old. I mean, you look at the shape that guy is in. It's incredible. And you look at some of the bumps that he took during Night of Champions, and it's amazing that he was able to do that. I'm not saying that he's flying around like he once did and everything, but guess what? I mean, the guy's in his mid-50s now, and you know, you can question whether or not he should be taking bumps out there at all. But, you know, he got himself in great shape. And if there is, you know, a heightened risk because he shook up his neck pretty bad, I wouldn't blame him if he said, you know what, I could go out there, I've been cleared, but you know what, I want to call it a career. I feel good about everything right now. And, you know, I have no regrets.
So here's my question for you, Fritzy. If this were TNA and Sting had wrestled at a TNA pay-per-view event against a younger talent who was the champion, somebody like, I don't know, Jeff Hardy, do you think fans would be calling for Dixie Carter's head for her irresponsibility of putting Sting in this position? Does WWE get a pass? I agree with you. Sting looked great. He's looked better in this run, I think, than he has the last few years of his TNA run. Maybe it's just because he's not wearing that stupid shirt in the wrestling ring. I don't know. But does WWE get a pass because they put Sting through some pretty vicious bumps last night? Some planned spots that one of the table was just tremendous. Are they getting a pass here?
Well, I've seen some people put that out there. Like, should WWE have even put him in the ring? But remember, part of this is up to the talent too. And if Sting says, "Hey, I'm in great shape and I can go," and he's passed all the medicals and, you know, and he's in good shape, and he is, then he can go. And remember, when you go over a match, you're going through everything. He can veto stuff, especially with somebody in his position, you know, a veteran, you know, that, you know, has been through so much already, that if there's something he doesn't feel comfortable with, I'm sure he could veto it.
And well,
yeah, but this, to do those things.
But the, again, part of the conversation is Kurt Angle, for example, somebody who has expressed interest in coming back that WWE does not want, and we speculate it's because of medical reasons potentially.
Sure.
Kurt Angle would say, heck yeah, I'll go in there. I'll go through that table. I'll jump up on that turnbuckle. I'll moonsault off of a freaking steel cage.
But Sting has not had the same kind of injuries that Kurt Angle has. True. I mean, Kurt has broken just about every bone and pulled about every muscle in his body during his career. Sting has had some injuries, but he has never had any injury as major as Kurt Angle has had in his career, especially when it comes to all the different neck problems that Angle has had going back to when he won the gold medal back in the Olympics, you know, two decades ago. So that's the thing that's scary about Kurt. Plus, with Kurt, you look at all the damage that he's done to his body by the different things that he's put in his body. And that has not helped as well. And that's, and you know, WWE, you know, they've been concerned that that Angle wouldn't pass a medical exam. I mean, I know that Kurt has said he would, but WWE just doesn't want to take that chance. They feel like there is a huge risk that's involved with Angle. With Sting, they don't feel like there's as much of a risk, if any, you know, that because he's been in great shape, that he's been, you know, lived a cleaner lifestyle. So they feel a lot more comfortable with him, obviously.
Yeah, I get that. I can see that.
Yeah. So
still,
I mean,
you know.
We'll see what happens with Sting. You know, like I said, I hope that he's healthy. And if he wants to continue, that's great. But I'm sure we'll find out the next day or two what exactly is going on with him. And we'll see what happens with Sting. But it was surprising that he wasn't even on the show at all after they had advertised he was going to make a major announcement. So let's go through the show then. So we did get the Wyatt family to open up the show with Bray Wyatt and Luke Harper and Braun Strowman. Snake lover, apparently, out there. And Bray was cutting a promo. Roman was ready to fight them on his own when Dean Ambrose came down, and they were getting beat up by Braun Strowman. And who came down to make the save? Randall Orton. So Randy Orton is not taking time off. And by the way, Chris Jericho, not at the show. So I don't know if that means he's going to be on next week or the week after, but the way it kind of feels right now is maybe Jericho is going to be down the road, and we now have another six-man tag team match possibly in our future between the Wyatts against Ambrose and Reigns and Orton, and maybe that will be at Hell in a Cell.
I mean, this is some creative booking here. Let's, you know, Randy Orton, nobody speculated he would be the third man for Dean Ambrose and Roman Reigns. Wow, that's really creative what they did there. And it really upped my excitement about this.
So when Seth Rollins was in the back and he was talking about, hey guys, we got to do something, you know, about him coming back. And obviously he's talking about Kane, and then he goes in the room and he realizes, hey, there's Kane, and Kane's in a suit and he's all smiling and happy-go-lucky. And he explains to Seth that the Authority is not there yet, even though they run the show and they know what time the show starts. I promise you that, but they could not show up on time. You know, so Kane basically said, hey, you know what? You're going to have a match later on tonight. You're getting a rematch for the United States Championship. And he was even acting like he didn't, you know, remember anything from the night before. And that happened later on. So it's funny because originally you thought, okay, are they just playing like, okay, Kane did that, kind of, you know, went to his alter ego for one night and then that was it. Or then you kind of thought, okay, maybe he's doing this mind games thing where he's acting like he doesn't remember it, but obviously he does, and he's screwing with everybody. Come the end of the night, it seems like that's where they were going. But it was just kind of weird how they built up to that. But at the same time, I will give Kane a lot of credit that when it comes to the stuff that he can do backstage and him talking, he's shown so much personality that he could pull a lot of these things off.
Yeah, Kane is a veteran in every sense of the word. So kudos to him. I think the angle detracted. We all knew where it was going. By the time that first little thing popped up and the mask was missing, it was just eager beaver Kane there ready to, hey, guys, I'm with you. It just all felt so fake, and it was unnecessary. I would rather seen Kane have just come back and ripped people apart all night. That would have been a lot more fun to me than seeing this kind of in-between angle and Stephanie McMahon and Triple H kind of being dopes about it. You know, it is what it is. And I guess I don't get, like, he booked matches, even though he didn't have the authority to book matches. But because he booked them, Triple H and Stephanie were like, you know what, Seth Rollins, go get him, kid. We're going to stick with what? That doesn't make any sense to me at all. So I just wish Kane would have been a monster instead of this weird psych gotcha character.
So the authority basically is afraid of Kane.
I guess. Is that what it is?
I don't know. I mean, when you...
Katie Vick? Are they afraid of what he might bring up about Katie Vick?
Hey, we saw what he did to Katie Vick, okay? You want that to happen to one of your family members?
Oh, my God. Wow.
By the way, if you ever get to talk to Kane, if you ever interview him, don't bring up that angle, because I did one time, like, right after it happened, and the interview went south from there. I learned very quickly, do not bring up necrophilia in an interview, especially to start it off. Probably not the best way to go.
A blanket rule, if you're doing any kind of sports journalism, let's just say necrophilia is one of those topics you don't bring up to anybody.
I learned a lesson that day. Let's put it that way. I learned a lesson that day.
That's the lesson you needed to learn, huh?
It was a long time ago, but I learned a very important lesson. They did Neville and the Lucha Dragons against Stardust and the Ascension. Let's bring it back. And guess what? The babyfaces got their win back when Kalisto pinned Victor. And by the way, I had to laugh about this. So Kalisto's got Victor wrapped up, and Victor, even though he's twice the size of Kalisto, did he fight to get out of the pin? Absolutely not. He just laid there with his legs up in the air as Kalisto held him, and he stood as still as possible to get pinned.
Yep. There you go.
It was fine. There was nothing wrong with that match.
Yeah.
There's that even Steven booking, though, that we see so many different times in WWE. So they did Ryback. He's got to get a win. So he's facing Bo Dallas with Kevin Owens at ringside. So you'll never guess who won.
Bo Dallas?
No, the Ryback won.
You said it wrong. You'll never believe who won.
That yes, never believe. I think we all had to say a prayer for Bo Dallas in this match as he was getting manhandled, to say the least. And then after the match, Kevin Owens attacked and went after Ryback. And guess what? There will be a rematch between the two. So I think the best segment of the show was the one involving the Divas.
Okay.
Would you agree with that?
I think it was fine. I don't think this show had a best segment. I think it was just all on autoplay. But
so, but what the Divas segment was, so Ric Flair came out, and Rick talked about how he's won so many championships, and they've meant a lot to him, but at the same time, as a father, he has not had a better night in his life than seeing his little girl, Charlotte, win the Divas Championship at Night of Champions. So Charlotte came out along with Becky Lynch and along with Paige. And Charlotte and Rick were trying their best not to cry. Rick was crying, though. He's a proud papa. So I don't have a problem with that. And the emotion, I mean, it's genuine emotion. So I appreciate that in this segment. And I think everybody was really speaking from the heart when it came to Flair and Charlotte. And she talked about, you know what, I want to make you proud, you know, and I grew up watching you and I wanted to do what you did and follow in your footsteps. So, you know, they had a very nice moment. And then Paige turned heel. Paige was tired of all the sappiness and said the only reason why this happened is because of her. And she's the one that made it possible. And she said that without her, there was no Diva Revolution. And then I guess she did her own version of the pipe bomb, as people like to throw out there. And that She talked about how Nikki Bella would get her rematch and bring her hippie sister and the hanger on, and the title would go right back where it was. And Paige called Charlotte nothing more than a placeholder. She took shots at Team Bad and Summer Rae and Lana, you name them. Paige went after them in some form or fashion, and even told Becky Lynch that she was the least relevant of all of them. And on top of that, Paige says, "Where's Natalya? Do you even work for this company anymore?" So she just went off, and then she walked off screaming, "This is my house." And next thing you know, Team Bella came out, and Nikki Bella not only said Paige was classless, but basically said, "Hey, Charlotte, I'm going to win my title back. But guess what? Tonight, you're going to get your butt kicked by my sister, Brie." So they did Brie Bella against Charlotte. I am not going to say anything bad about this. I could. But they actually went over 9 minutes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that was interesting, so, to say the least.
What is it now that Paige comes out and speaks the truth and all of a sudden she's a heel? You know, what
people Well, it's not what you say, it's how you say it.
Okay? I'm just saying.
It's like the Becky same angle. Remember when Chris Jericho, you know, I don't know how many years ago was that he feuded with Shawn Michaels? And it was all based on he made real statements saying that Shawn Michaels was a hypocrite. But it's the way that he said it, it's and how he kept saying it over and over and over again that made him a heel. But I love this segment from Paige. I mean, I thought that was fantastic. You know, it was obviously it was scripted, but it felt very raw. And, you know, it shook things up. And now that Charlotte is the Divas champion, you've taken Paige out of that group, out of PCB. Oh, what are we going to have with that group now? What's going to happen with that name? But now that you've done that, it feels like now is a real potential for like a restart on the Divas Revolution.
Yep. That's exactly what needed to happen to make us feel fresh again. I think to me, the whole Charlotte moment was cheapened whenever she was out there turning this into an award speech. Becky, you've been my protein sister. I just didn't need all that fluff. We just needed Charlotte. We need Charlotte to stand out on her own. And Paige is right. Becky Lynch has been the most irrelevant person in this entire Divas Revolution, unfortunately. So I, you know, kudos to Paige and the way they wrote that storyline for letting her remarks have a little bit of teeth. Her remarks against Lana and Summer Rae were great as well. I am hoping this can be Charlotte versus Paige and not Charlotte and Becky Lynch versus Paige. But I enjoyed the segment, and I'm looking forward to seeing a Paige heel run, hopefully for real this time, and not that weird thing she did with AJ Lee last year.
I agree. And by the way, Charlotte did beat Brie Bella, just to clear that up, everybody. The one person that I hope does not get overlooked in all of this is Sasha Banks. And I understand maybe she's a little bit on the back burner right now, only because she's got that big match against Bayley at the next NXT TakeOver show. So that's not, I mean, it's a back burner when it comes to what's going on the WWE product. But when it comes to NXT, obviously she's front and center and she's going to be main eventing this next big show, you know, when they have an Iron Woman match. So Sasha Banks is somebody that definitely needs to get, when that match is over, they need to put her, you know, front and center, I think, when it comes to everything that's going on with the Divas in the main roster.
Yeah, I think I agree. That's what it takes. That's the timing will be right for that.
So we got Sheamus against Mark Henry. Guess who won that one? Sheamus won. It was about 2.5 minute match. Mark Henry actually got some offense early on, but then Sheamus came back and he was able to pin him. Afterwards, Sheamus went up on the top of the stage, cut a promo. He said something that got censored. I have no idea what he said. And then basically he said, "I consider myself the WWE World Heavyweight Champion. It's just when I decide to cash in."
Yep.
So, they're trying to get that idea in your mind that Sheamus is going to cash in. And, you know, maybe they're actually going to start giving him some wins. Funny how that works is that wins and losses aren't important. But now that maybe they're actually starting to push, they could cash in Money in the Bank. You got to win. And I guarantee, you know what? He's going to get another win coming up here. And by the way, so Big Show's going to be facing Brock Lesnar at Madison Square Garden. What did they do in preparation and build up for that match? Oh, Big Show won. Wow. But wins and losses don't matter.
And he beat Cesaro. So yeah. Does that matter?
Well, yeah, we'll get to that here in just a second. I'll stay in order, I guess. So we mentioned how the Authority were backstage and they talked with Kane and they were just as perplexed about what was going on through Kane's mind. And, you know, Stephanie even, they tried to bring up like, oh, you were there at Night of Champions. We saw the Big Red Monster. And they were like, I don't know what you're talking about. And Stephanie had said, well, your mask is missing. And he goes, oh, well, that would be a very big problem if it got lost. So he's playing all coy with them. Natalya ran into Paige and shared some frank words for her and said, guess what? I'm actually not only employed, but I am going to have a match later on with Naomi. So, and then they did the six-man tag. They did the Dudleys and Dolph Ziggler against Rusev, Kofi, and Big E with Xavier Woods at ringside. And before the match, Xavier talked about how he had a big piece of wood he had to remove from his butt the night before when he took a 3D through the table. And by the way, he did have the trombone. By the way, Rusev, Big E, and Kofi got the win here. Rusev pinned Dolph Ziggler and was very happy with his performance. During the middle of this match, at one point, Xavier was playing Rusev's theme on the trombone. Summer Rae was so thrilled that at one point she started moving the slider on the trombone, which created some conversation on social media, shall we say? Because she was playing with his instrument, literally, on literally. TV. Literally. Yes. But when the end of the match came, it was Xavier Woods distracted Dolph Ziggler, jumped up on the apron, was playing the trombone. Ziggler super kicked Woods off the apron, but when he flew off the apron, he dropped the trombone and Summer Rae caught it. But when Dolph turned around, he ran right into a super kick from Rusev and got pinned. So I will say this, it was a better entertaining match when it comes to everything that New Day did, especially Xavier Woods and even Rusev and Summer Rae. They all celebrated afterwards with such joy.
Yep. Again, another three-man. Well, Teddy Long must have been in the back tonight. He came back for one night only to book a whole bunch of three-on-three matches and mixed tag matches and holla holla playa.
Peanut Head is alive and well in the spirits and minds of all of us. They did Naomi against Natalya, and guess what? Natalya lost. There was a distraction from Tamina and Naomi. Hit the rear view, got the victory, which makes a lot of sense. They're going to be doing some more stuff, you know, with them. I mean, I would like to see Natalya on the show a lot more often. And I think, you know, a lot of people, including Natalya, she has said this in interviews, like, I don't understand why I'm not a part of this Divas Revolution. Why am I not more of a part of this? And, you know, she was a huge part of it, you know, when it really started taking off in NXT from the standpoint that, remember, she lost to Charlotte when Charlotte won the championship in NXT in that fantastic match. And Natalya's had plenty of great matches in NXT with all of the different women. So it's been kind of weird that she has been absent. And I understand she wanted to spend some time with her husband, with Tyson Kidd, as he had major neck surgery. But it just seems weird that she's been MIA for so long.
Yeah, I agree. They called it out, which I think was appropriate. But, yep, interesting.
Let's talk about Big Show against Cesaro. So I think people cringed when they saw this match put together. And I think we all knew what was going to happen. And, you know, Big Show is facing Brock Lesnar at this show at Madison Square Garden coming up on Saturday. And it's airing on the WWE Network. So he wanted to get a win. So he didn't dominate the match, but got plenty of offense in, and he was able to hit the knockout punch, and he beat Cesaro in about 6 minutes, which invoked the conversation, why does Vince McMahon hate Cesaro so much on the internet? And I got plenty of tweets about that, and we have other messages from that too on our Facebook page. And by the way, that's facebook.com/between the ropes. So, and then afterwards, Big Show cut a promo talking about how Brock Lesnar was going to be in the exact same position that Cesaro is in right now, down on the mat, pinned, defeated, and in pain, and talked about, my big ass isn't going to get suplexed. And let's go back to, I think it was like 2002, when he was talking about, when everybody said Brock Lesnar couldn't be beat. I beat him. Not only did I beat him, I took the WWE championship from him. And, you know, and I'm going to beat him again. And this is the thing that everybody points out. And I can't blame Big Show. This is a creative decision from those on high. But the history of how it gets told, like normally WWE doesn't tell history from that long ago, but they did. What they missed were the years in between, including a match that took place at the beginning of 2014 when Brock Lesnar owned Big Show at the Royal Rumble.
Yep.
Suplexed him everywhere and then beat the snot out of him with a steel chair.
Yep. Yep. It's funny. Selective memory, selective history. It's what WWE is best at. But I guess I don't know what they want out of this match. We know it's just going to be a one-sided affair again. Brock Lesnar's going to dominate. They're trying to build some kind of intrigue. I would much rather them have just picked Bo Dallas to be in there and let Brock Lesnar just rip him apart again. That was tons of fun at Beast in the East. We don't expect this to be a legitimate match, and nobody but nobody wants to see Brock Lesnar and Big Slow Show fight for that show.
Yeah, and I mean, that's a Vince McMahon special because he loves his big guys. And hey, it's a big thing because Brock Lesnar is going to face the Big Show, but I would rather there be a fresh opponent. I mean, aren't there other guys we could see? Would it hurt if you did Brock Lesnar against Cesaro?
No, I think
Cesaro could lose that match, and that's fine. But if they could have a good competitive match and say win 10 minutes, and I'm not saying Brock isn't going to suplex him all over the place, but I don't think he's going to, you know, get 90% of the offense. He's going to get the bulk of the offense, but you could have something really nice and something different with somebody like a Cesaro that's out there. And there's other opponents you can put out there as well that I think people would be more interested in because, yes, it's cool to see Brock Lesnar, but how many people are going to say, I've got to go out of my way to see Brock Lesnar against the Big Show on a Saturday night? I don't know. I mean, that remains to be seen. Now, they did say they're going to do the rematch for the tag titles, New Day against Dudley Boys. But, you know, that's almost what we saw on Raw. And we see that, you know, kind of all the time. So I don't know how special this show really is if you're not there live at the Garden to watch it.
I guess the history of it being, I mean, it's fine. You can put these house shows on. They'll probably add in, I would say, a United States title match.
Maybe.
And they're kind of, well, you know, they could do
Ryback against, yeah. You know, against Kevin Owens again.
Mm-hmm. Or as they called him on Sunday night, Kevin Owen.
Kevin Owen. He's not Puro anymore.
Nope. There's just one of them.
Yeah, so the only other thing in the match was the main event, like we said, and that was the Rollins against Cena match, which we went over. And, hey, guess what? John Cena is still the United States champion. And I don't even know if he's going to do the open challenge every week or not. I would think he would. And we still don't even know who could be next in line that he would face. So that remains to be seen, and we'll find out next week. I still find kind of the booking for Rollins just kind of odd in that people will sit here and talk a little bit about, you know, is he a strong champion? I want my world champion to be a strong champion. Doesn't mean he can't be a heel. Doesn't mean he can't be a little bit of a chicken and all of that. But it's kind of all over the place with Rollins in that, like, the authority figure is supposed to back him up, but at the same time, it feels like they don't have his back, and they screw them, and they tweak him, and they don't support him. You know, in a lot of different ways. There's some stuff that Seth does that is really heelish. But once he gets in the ring, it's like he doesn't do anything as a heel, really. And there's a lot of things, too, that make you feel like he's a babyface or you should have sympathy for him. So it's kind of weird the way that Seth Rollins is being booked right now.
Yeah, and I kind of think we've talked about this before. Him turning face is starting to look like a much bigger possibility. I would say maybe even by Survivor Series. Maybe his feud with Sheamus does it. Who knows? But it feels like we're going in that direction. Again, why does he have to lose so much? And why does he have to lose cleanly to John Cena two nights in a row? Only God knows why.
Well, let's get some other news and notes. So And we'll get some questions coming up after that as well. You can leave them here in the chat room, or you can leave them on the Facebook page. And you can also hit us up on Twitter. It's at Between the Ropes. So if you enjoy Lucha Underground Season 1 and we're concerned there might not be a Season 2, guess what? There's a Season 2.
There's going to be more. Well, no, wait. There's going to be a Season 2 of I thought you were talking about Destination America dropping TNA. Sorry.
No. I was talking about Lucha Underground on the El Rey Network. So there is going to be a second season. They're going to be filming it later on this year in Los Angeles, and it's going to be released early 2016. I know that there was a story on deadline.com that had that. So, Lucha Underground is coming back. More Dario Cueto.
I'm super excited. We'll get to see more Johnny Nitro out there every week.
I don't think he goes by Johnny Nitro, though.
Yeah, Johnny Nitro from Monday Nitro. That's where he got it. Eric Bischoff gave it to him on Raw, right? This is very confusing to me.
Yeah, it should be confusing to you.
Johnny Nitro. He's my favorite.
I'm trying to think, what is, was there any other major news that we're missing out on besides... we hit on Sting. What's going on there?
TNA dropped from Destination America, but not until next year. Not until February.
We hit on that a little bit on the previous podcast. But yeah, we can go into that a little bit more because...
Well, they announced the actual will be in January, February?
Well, that's the whole thing because... So Dixie Carter did this interview with SI.com, with Sports Illustrated, and there was kind of mixed messages in here where... It was said that, you know, Destination America, they're looking for a new home, but they'll be on Destination America through the end of the year. But then it said they'll be off Destination America in February. So I don't know if it's January or February, when exactly they're going to be gone. And, Dixie Carter had said that she's having conversations about, television in the United States. But what wasn't clear was, is Destination America still a possibility? So I don't know that. So that remains up in the air. And, I mean, that's a big deal that they've got to find a home here in the United States when it comes to a television home. And then the other thing is, too, that we did not hit on is that Jeff Jarrett no longer owns any of TNA Wrestling. Part of his deal to get the promotion for Global Force Wrestling and doing the angle that they did, the invasion angle, against TNA – was that he sold back part of, the shares that he owns. Or at least they worked out a deal where he sold them back, and then he also got that as well as that they did the invasion angle. So regardless of how it went down, Jeff Jarrett no longer owns any of TNA Wrestling. Now, why did they do that? Because they had already been, working together. So was this done for a particular reason? Like, did TNA just not like the idea of Jeff owning it and said, screw it, let's just get it all back? Or did they feel the need that they needed to own 100% of the company because of their search for a new television deal? Or could other things be brewing where they needed to own 100% of the company?
Yep.
And those other things brewing is, and then this is just speculation, but could they be selling the company?
To...
An interested buyer.
Who would that be?
There's rumors out there that aren't really substantiated. So take this with a grain of salt. It's just rumors and there's really no truth to this, but it's kind of one of those connect the dots kinds of things. And it's kind of forced, but you do wonder, would Spike TV be interested in buying them? Because they were in the past and it didn't happen. And they've already bought Bellator, and there are still some people within Spike that would be interested in having wrestling as a lead-in for, it's mixed martial arts and it's kickboxing that they have on Friday nights.
That could be interesting. I think your problem then becomes, would you rather go with, if you're Spike TV, go with TNA and incur all that involves, all of the stress, rather than just picking up Global Force, which is they're begging for a network. They'll do anything for a network.
Well, here's the thing, okay? If you buy TNA, what are you buying? Okay, because you've got a brand that's been established, but at the same time, you can make the argument it's a damaged brand. you're getting some talents, but we don't know what talents because some of them are leaving. Even Kenny King has now gone back to Ring of Honor. So, and, you know, Kurt Angle has said that, you know, he's done at the end of the year and he's going to be taking time off. And there's a lot of speculation about Jeff Hardy, whose contract is coming up early in 2016. So you don't know exactly what you have. And it's not like the video library is that valuable. So would you want a TNA wrestling, considering all of that? Or if you did want wrestling, would you be more interested in something that has more of a clean slate in a Global Force Wrestling and working with somebody in a Jeff Jarrett that you have a prior relationship to? I don't know what that relationship is, if it's good, bad, and different, what exactly it is, but would you want to do that? Because while it's a clean slate, at the same time, okay, now I've got to build a brand that really doesn't have any recognition out there to a major audience.
Yeah, but you're also dealing with some known quantities with Jeff Jarrett and some of the other wrestlers they'll have, especially if TNA is talking about possibly going under, your talent pool will increase trifold at that point if you're Global Force Wrestling.
Well, you would think so. I mean, and Spike would be a huge get for anybody. I mean, it still remains to be seen if Spike definitely wants wrestling. I've heard that there are some people that are interested. There's others that are not. I mean, they did talk with Ring of Honor earlier this year, but they did not come to a deal. And I don't know if that ship has, you know, totally gone or not. I mean, obviously Ring of Honor is on Destination America, and that deal doesn't come up until the end of November, I believe. So, you know, I don't know if they'd go back. I mean, to me, Ring of Honor would be the best fit because of the style that they do, the emphasis on the in-ring, and it only being an hour show. And to me, the best deal that would be out there is if, you know, Spike definitely wants wrestling for that 8 o'clock slot on a Friday night to get Ring of Honor there and tell them two things. Number one, with some of the, with the money we give you, you have to up your production value. Just has to be done. And two, this is a first run show. It cannot be a first run on Sinclair Broadcasting. It has to be first run here with us. Then I don't know if a deal like that could be made, but you know, we'll see. I mean, there's just a lot of talk and speculation and rumors that are out there. So I don't know if TNA wants to sell, you know, and maybe they're going to be forced to sell because of everything that's going on. I don't even know what other companies would be interested in TNA because you're talking about a company now that, you know, they're going to lose their deal with Destination America, it looks like, you know, or I don't think Destination America is interested in bringing them back unless it was like a greatly discounted deal. And even then, I don't even know if they want them. But if that's the case, that means within the span of 1 year, TNA would have lost two different television partners.
Yeah, I think that's damage. It's damage goods at that point. So I can't see them. I don't think they're going to recover from this. I think Ring of Honor has the whole production values problem. They've had it for years. They continue to have it. You're not going to be seen as Major League until you can turn on the freaking lights in your arena. So whatever. Other news. Did you hear? Just Incredible. You know, the guy best known for being the third wheel in that infamous X-Factor faction back in the early 2000s, is retiring.
Oh, Justin's retiring now.
Well, yes, that's what he says. Final match against? Yes.
Sean Waltman?
No, close. Tommy Dreamer.
Okay.
That other sense. Guy everybody wrestles in their retirement match.
Yeah. Well, Jerry Lynn faced Sean Waltman, but he also faced two other guys from his early days in Minnesota. So
there you go.
Yeah, and Justin hasn't been wrestling a lot of matches lately, but you know, he wrestles every now and then. And I think Justin's in a good place right now. I mean, he's definitely had some demons, and it sounds like he's been in a good place lately. So hopefully that continues. And you know, I wish him the best in his retirement. It's funny that when, you know, just a couple of years ago, he was working like a normal job, like you and me and so many other people out there. And there were some people, whether they're wrestling fans or even wrestlers, they were making fun of him. And I was just like, why? The guy's making an honest living. What's wrong with it? I mean, yes, you could one day be, you know, a popular wrestler, you know, and be a champion and all those different things. And I mean, Justin was, you know, no matter what you think of ECW, how big or how small, and even at the last couple of years, the status that it had at that point, you know, Justin was a good wrestler, you know, and he was a champion there for a while. And a lot of people that are wrestling fans know who Justin Credible is. But I just find it ludicrous that people make fun of other wrestlers when they get normal jobs past their, you know, wrestling career, or if say they just need money and they got to work a normal job, then so be it.
Yeah. People, internet wrestling fans, there you go. They're just difficult people. Speaking of internet wrestling fans, you know what time it is, don't you?
What time is it?
Time for some questions.
Ooh, get to the questions.
Where can people find us, Fritzy?
Well, you can always find us, not only here on YouTube, that's youtube.com/betweentheropes. You can go to our website, it's betweentheropes.com, and if you want to leave us questions, do it on our Facebook page, facebook.com/betweentheropes, and you can also ask them on Twitter, it's @betweentheropes, and while we're doing the live broadcast, the chat room is open, and you can put your questions right there and take part in the conversation.
So we're going to lead off here with Matt Mew. And Matt is a loyal viewer. He is on here about every broadcast that I notice. He always chimes in the chat room too, which I greatly appreciate. He's got two things for us tonight. First, he said, Fritz, you wrote an news article about TNA payments being late a few months ago. What do you know about the situation now?
I haven't heard too much about it lately, but I believe everybody is paid up to date, or at least not in arrears as much. One of the big problems I think that people, you know, didn't talk about from that story was not only were a lot of production people paid very late, like more than 60 days, like 70, 80 days behind, but they were being shorted money. And I had several people tell me like they were shorted hundreds, if not thousands of dollars. Like they would get a paycheck for, you know, say, remember the shows that they did overseas in the UK back in January? And they would get paid for that, you know, 75 days after the shows, and they'd be shorted like $1,200.
That's crazy. That's
and
crazy.
And I heard like the average was about $1,200 per person. So, you know, but a lot of these people had worked production for TNA for a long time. And so they kept, you know, putting up with it. Plus, they didn't want to, you know, some of them were worried like, okay, if I quit, am I going to get the money that they owe me? So, but I mean, it got brought up and I think it's been cleared up, or at least in a better position now. I haven't heard anything about it lately. So I would hope that TNA has done the right thing and they're paying their, you know, employees, even if they're freelance employees, you know, paying them, you know, sooner and paying them the full amount that's owed.
Yeah. That's a shame. And again, bad business is bad for business, which is why I've been saying TNA goes away, it's not a huge loss to the wrestling community as a whole. I get it from a talent perspective, but I hate the bad news it brings to a business we love. Matt also writes in about TNA. If TNA isn't able to find another television deal, do you think WWE would be interested in buying the video library?
I guess it depends on how much. Yeah, you wouldn't think it would be that valuable. It depends if somebody else wanted to buy it or what the current owners would do with it. And like I said, the cost. But if it wasn't too expensive, yeah, I'd say probably they would. I'm not saying that they would promote it and put it on the network immediately, but there's value in any library like that.
If it's not too expensive, why don't we buy it and slap it on the Between the Ropes YouTube channel?
We could, and you make a bunch of money off that. I mean, I always tell this story that I remember when WCW got sold. And remember, it was $2 million they got sold for. And Macho Man Randy Savage had come on, I can't remember how long after that sale, and he was ticked that it got sold that cheaply. And it was like, hell, if I had known it was going to be that cheap, he goes, I would have spent the $2 million just for the video library.
Yep. We should do it. I think we should invest in TNA. After all this time, I'm coming to my senses. Let's do it, Fritzy. We should start. Oh, my God. My mind just. We should start a GoFundMe to buy TNA's library when they go out of business.
Well, I don't know when they're going out of business. I mean, TNA has had 9 lives. I don't want to write them off yet because they've found different ways to survive. I'm not saying that they're going to thrive or anything necessarily, but they're surviving. I know Dixie said some stuff in that article. She's going to say what she has to say because she's the owner and, you know, she's at least got to put on a good face. But if they don't find a home in the United States, they're going to have a massive problem because at that point they don't have that. You know, what are they going to do? Do shows overseas with a skeleton crew that won't have any major stars other than EC3?
I guess. I'm sorry.
Where would TNA be without EC3 right now? Honestly.
I'm still trying to figure out how we're going to get DVDs mass produced. Maybe we just sell all the TNA shows on demand on YouTube.
Hmm.
How much money do you think we get out of that? So let's say we put old shows up for $2 a pop. We could probably make our money back fairly quickly. $2 million?
Do you do it that way, or do you do a subscription service where people can get access to the whole library?
Like a Netflix for wrestling, only better.
Right.
That's what we're already doing. This is synergy, baby. Synergy.
Could we get the guy that was a part of the WWE Network and then left to go work for the NFL? Could we get him to run it?
Yeah, we could.
Sure.
Good.
Can we get Don West to promote it? There's the money right there, man. Get Don.
Oh. Vincent Glorioso writes in.
Easy for you to say.
Not happy. It's been a long 24 hours since that show last night and the alcohol and... the days and days and days. Not happy that they gave no mention to Sting being hurt and his current status. What do you think about them not mentioning it at all?
I think maybe the reason why they didn't mention it at all is because they're not certain what exactly they're doing going forward. And maybe he was going to announce his retirement and then he was not. Maybe they wanted to have further tests done before they went forward and announced everything, because maybe some preliminary tests said nothing was found broken, but they want to have another MRI to see if there was further damage that they didn't see originally. So I think there is some question marks about Sting right now.
Yeah, I think it just shows that they weren't quite, somebody at some point wasn't quite sure what was going to happen, and they pulled the trigger a little bit too early on that. Jim Mills. Ask BTR, on a grading scale, A to F, how would you rate Paige's heel turn on Charlotte? I thought it was good. A B.
I might go A minus.
Yeah, B. I agree with them. It's good, but not the greatest thing ever. She made Charlotte Flair cry. I mean, Charlotte was already crying. She made Ric Flair cry, but he's already crying.
I made Ric Flair cry, okay? That is a true story.
Ric Flair, what do you think about your career?
The Nature Boy. I told you that story that the Hall of Fame, the night before he had his retirement match with Shawn Michaels, they had a press conference and they're bringing all these different people up and they brought up Rick. He came out, was crying and right at the beginning, composed himself, started taking some questions, was fine. Then I asked him a question, and as he answered it, the farther I got along with the answer, he broke down and started crying again. And then that prompted one of my good friends who's there with me going, you made your hero cry. And made me feel like crap the rest of the night.
Yep. Yep, I've heard that story. This is me no-selling you. I'm no-selling you right now on the air.
I wish Rick had no-sold me and didn't cry that night.
Mm. Francis writes in with his usual slew of
Are you okay there?
I'm coughing. My brain is shutting down as we speak.
You're making faces there like John Cena did at the beginning of the match with Rollins, or even before the match began, because Rollins jumped him from behind and hit him with a clothesline and then kicked him. And John Cena sold it like he ate a bag of Sour Patch Kids with his face. He's like, I was like, what's going on here?
So here's the problem. It used to be, so we had the show last night. We stayed up late, I had to get up early this morning.
Yeah.
I don't know. Okay, so here's the problem. It used to be that if I fell asleep during Raw, and I thought Raw was particularly boring and whatever, I could catch up the next day. I could go to bed a little bit early and watch it on DVR. No, instead with us doing the show now right after Raw, I have to be awake enough to do the show and seem coherent. So it was around 10:40. I think it was shortly after the Sheamus Mark Henry match. I had to run into the other room, and I was like, God, I'm falling asleep in there. I got some chips because I hear something crunchy helps keep you awake at night. So I ate some chips, but I think the power of those chips is quickly wearing off.
I honestly thought when Raw got done and you were not in the broadcast room to begin with, I was really worried that you fell asleep.
I was real close.
Like,
but
oh, man, you might have dozed.
Here's legit, though. I was here in the office, and I was thinking, looking at my phone, why has Brian not sent me the link yet? Because you always send it early. Why is Brian, what the heck is going on? It just didn't show up on my phone. My phone just didn't show it for whatever reason. So I was blaming you. I was like, God, Brian, come on, man. No, it was just my phone. So,
let's get to one or two more questions, then we'll put a wrap on it.
All right, let's end up with Francis tonight.
Sure.
Oh, Francis, and his usual slew of about
20 lighten questions. Up, Francis.
That's BTR. When Sting won the TNA World Heavyweight Belt and people complained that he won it, why – and people didn't complain that he won it. Why are people complaining now he's 50? Okay, this question doesn't make any sense to me, so I'm going to skip it.
Okay, no. I'll explain.
Okay.
Sting, when Sting won the World Championship in TNA, people complained that he won. But why are people now upset that he didn't win the WWE Championship, you know, in the twilight period of his career? So people were upset that he won it in TNA, but people are now upset that he didn't win it in WWE.
Gotcha. I thought that, but I couldn't verbalize it. You know why? Because internet wrestling fans are finicky, and they still want to believe in this grand conspiracy that Triple H and Vince McMahon are burying Sting because he was from WCW, even though Vince loves Sting. He loves Sting.
Well, so I think part of it is, too, remember, TNA doesn't have as big of an audience. And I think the people that, you know, watch TNA are either diehard wrestling fans or they're diehard TNA fans. And they're very loyal to their guys and that brand. When you're talking about WWE, it's a much bigger audience. There's some more nostalgia that's involved in that. I think there's more people that were WCW fans. So, and those people still have a warm place in their heart for Sting and would like him to get that one quick run, even if it was for a day with the WWE Championship. And, I mean, I've had people complain to me, you know, on social media talking about why can't they let Sting even get a win? You know, he hasn't even gotten a win. He lost Triple H at Mania, and now he's lost to Seth Rollins. And I'm like, that's what Sting is there for. I mean, his career has been fantastic. I mean, he did an interview with Rolling Stone and basically laid it out, said, hey, it's not my time anymore, and I'm basically here to put people over.
Yep. I agree. People are finicky, though. And our last two questions. Any thoughts about Amanda being in the next season of Total Divas?
No. I don't watch that show, and I never will. I will share some thoughts real quickly, though, about what I think is a travesty that is going on, and that is apparently – WWE has signed ZZ, and he is training at the Performance Center.
You and ZZ are buddies, though.
We do get along, apparently. We've taken a selfie, which he took. I don't have anything against the guy. I don't think ZZ is an evil person. I don't think he deserves the opportunity, because even what we saw, he had this opportunity to be in that house with everybody else and to train and to get in better shape. I'm not saying he had to be in perfect shape or anything like that, but he had an opportunity to get in much better shape, take advantage of all the things there when it came to the trainers and the facility. And he did not do that. And he even admitted it, that he wasn't working out that hard. I mean, look at somebody like Josh, who used that to drop about 40 pounds, and he got himself in tremendous shape. And ZZ, even if he'd gotten, you know, half as good a shape, it would have been great. But he didn't do that. And I thought he was very lazy. I didn't think he was very respectful of everybody else. And I don't think he deserves that opportunity. And people keep talking about, you know, this great charisma he's got. I don't see it.
Here's my not-so-bold prediction. He will not make it to the main roster in WWE.
Unless there's a drastic change, I don't foresee that either.
Final question for the night. What program are you looking forward to seeing this fall the most on the WWE Network?
What are the new shows this fall on the WWE Network?
Well, one just concluded. The new interview show, JBL.
Yep, Talking with Legends.
Mm-hmm. What other shows are you looking forward to?
I don't know. I wouldn't mind watching that show with JBL, though. I mean, okay. JBL is a very smart guy, and I think he'll ask very frank, honest questions to the people he's speaking with.
There is there's that show I am super excited about, actually. What's it called? The NXT show? I'm trying to look it up right now.
Oh, the I know what you're talking about. The one where they're showing NXT guys going through, you know, training at the Performance Center as they make their way through NXT and try to make it to the main roster.
It's more of a documentary style show. Kind of reminds me of what The Ultimate Fighter has become. And I really dig that. It's kind of what I wish Tough Enough was. So super excited about that. I watched, this was really weird, but there's this new show on there called Dinner for Three. And I think they've only done like one or two episodes. They did it with New Day last week. It was pretty good. It's about half an hour long. Nobody. It's just
okay, the three just of them guys sitting down and
eating dinner. They're talking about their careers even. And I really enjoyed it. So Dinner for Three.
Maybe I have to check that out.
The NXT show I am looking forward to.
By the way, Matt in the chat room has a great idea to add to our idea of buying the TNA library if it becomes available.
Oh, yeah?
We're talking about, you know, making it available and how we get that out there on demand. Great idea. He's got a great pricing point, $9.98.
There you go, man.
Undercut the competition.
There you go. Let's do it.
Sure, why not? $9.98. What a deal, huh?
We got to figure out the business behind this, but I think this could be a future for us, Brian.
All we got to do is get all the money to put it together and then get the company for the video on demand and distribution and see if we can get any other new programming. So, no problem.
Angel investors. They'll take care of all that for us.
Absolutely. So, and on that note, we're going to wrap it up. We do appreciate everybody staying up late with us tonight and joining us immediately following Raw every Monday night. Whether you're tired or not, we do enjoy that everybody takes part in the conversation here on the live broadcast. Once again, thanks again to everybody that is pledging to us on Patreon. I know that Jacob Gonsowski, if I pronounce that right, I apologize if I butchered that, Jacob, but Jacob began pledging to us today, so I appreciate that. And it's $1 a month, and guess what? That's great. $1 a month, that helps us out a ton. Like I said before, that's 20 cents a show, because we guaranteed to do 5 live broadcasts per month. And $1 a month, that helps us out a lot, and it's 20 cents a show. So if you can pledge to us, just go to patreon.com/betweentheropes. And if you want to do more than $1, you can. We have different tiers there, some goodies that we will give back as well for people that decide to pledge more. And if you can't pledge right now, keep supporting Between the Ropes through a variety of ways. Check us out on BetweenTheRopes.com. Subscribe to us here on YouTube and make sure you like and share our videos and make comments. You can subscribe to us on iTunes and on Stitcher for the audio version of the podcast. And please rate us and review us there as well. Check out the Facebook page as well and follow us on Twitter. It's at Between the Ropes. So thanks again, everybody, for staying up late with us tonight. We'll talk to you again soon. He's Michael Wiseman. Go to sleep now, Michael.
Finally.
Want to. I'm Brian Fritz. We'll talk to you again here soon. Between the Ropes.
The talking is over.
Thanks for downloading Between the Ropes.
Now you guys are awesome. Thank you.
For more, go to BetweenTheRopes.com and subscribe to Between the Ropes on iTunes.
Thank you. Have a nice day.